The Jerry Doyle Show.
How crucial is the next Federal Reserve chairperson? I didn't say chairman. It could be chairwoman. But we'll go with chairperson for now. How important is it, and why should you be concerned about it? Right now, the market's a little squirrely. It's under 15,000. The 10-year Treasury is up around 2.9. The Fed is sending mixed signals about tapering, getting rid of the $85 billion a month that's helping the banker gangsters on Wall Street make tons of money, but not happening, helping Main Street in any way, shape, or form. Joining us on the program to talk about the Fed chair, unsexy, but crucial to us all, is Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, and her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back.
Hi, Jerry. Good to be with you. How are you today?
Almost perfect.
Well, I'd believe that anytime.
but people say, how are you? They say, not perfect. And I go, no, it's like bowling 300. Because once you do, why would you ever bowl again? And once you
That's exactly right. You have to have something to strive for.
Exactly.
Don't you?
Right. Once you hit perfection, you know, cull yourself from the herd, man. It's over. It's not going to get any better.
But
anyway,
darned close. That's all I can say.
Inching closer every day. What I love about your piece, which people can read at EpicTimes.com, is no one has really done this before, is that you point out the importance of the next Fed chair and the decisions that the Fed chair makes and the Federal Reserve oversees. And when you look at the litany of how these decisions affect everyone, whether it's a home loan, a credit card, a student loan. I mean, this next choice for Fed chair is hugely important, especially in light of the fact that this economy is not roaring back like it should.
Well, you know, it's really fascinating to me. I always try to imagine and put myself in the other person's shoes, because so many people are not news junkies like us. So many people don't want to be involved in politics. They're so busy keeping the roof over their heads. And, you know, I respect that. I understand it. But we have to find a way, unsexy as the Fed chair job sounds, to make it palatable and to make it human for people, so you understand that it really does have a critical effect in people's lives. And as much as we have been touting Janet Yellen for the next Fed chair, she would be the first woman. She is the current vice chair, and by all accounts is a wonderful economist and has been doing a fine job, and also did a fine job as the San Francisco Fed chair years before. But the problem is, now I'm reading from various sources, what I'm getting is that Larry Summers, Mr. Deregulation himself, is the 2-to-1 odds-on favorite. Because who does he have in his corner? President Obama. Even though his own Democratic senators have been balking and fighting him on this, saying that Larry Summers was making money off of Wall Street, that also he's very difficult to work with and combative, and thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And so I've been trying to find a way. How can I get through to make people understand that they need to yell from the rafters and say, we don't want this guy, we want her? And, you know, perhaps by explaining what it is the person does, it begins to trickle down and you realize that this does have an effect on all of us.
Before we get to the yelling Summers debate, you said you looked up Fed chair for dummies and you came to the conclusions that you did based upon just how important the job is. And you said that you wanted to understand what the Fed chair job is correctly enough so that people would be understanding of just how important this decision is. And let me preface, you know, before we go through some of these things, this is a system that rewards people who are in the system. And the only way we're going to change the system is to change the people who are a part of the system. Larry Summers would be an extension of the status quo. Now, you say, okay, the chair position, the leader, the Uber banker, the Fed chair is responsible for the domestic and international finance and economic developments of our country, that they supervise and regulate the Federal Reserve banks, that their responsibility is to the nation's payment system. They administer consumer credit protection laws, the supervision and regulation of the U.S. banking system. They supervise 900 state member banks and 5,000 bank holding companies. The Fed chair reports to Congress, sits on the board of the International Monetary Fund, the Bank of International Settlements, the National Advisory Council on International Monetary and Financial Policies. In other words, you say, we need to get this one right.
Yeah, but isn't it shocking when you run off that list, if consumers just stop for 5 seconds and say, holy crap, I mean, this is really huge what this person does. This person's job is as important, if not more so, than the president, him, or hopefully one day herself. So we really do need to get this one right. And there was another op-ed put out last week talking about the fact that since Larry Summers is no longer the president of Harvard, that he has been hell-bent for leather to make money off of Wall Street, and now his net worth is estimated somewhere between $17 million and $39 million. Whereas Janet Yellen, her husband is a Nobel Prize winning economist, by the way, and their, you know, including her big stamp collection, their net worth together is maybe $5 million. So yeah, she has some dough too, but he has been someone who has made a lot of money off of Wall Street, and that should automatically disqualify him for the position, according to this op-ed. And I have to say that I agree. And I'm really shocked, you know, that this person would even be under consideration. But this also brings me to something that I'm just dying to ask you. And we've talked about this before. It has to do with the golf foursome. You know, like you just pick the people you're most comfortable with.
Absolutely.
And that not is necessarily not the people who are the best, but the ones you know you're comfortable with in the locker room, you hang out, you know, you get your clubs and you go do what you do. And I wouldn't know what anybody does on a golf outing if you paid me, but, you know, that's the situation. So I guess my question is, what does this woman have to do? Sexism notwithstanding. Let's leave that aside for the moment.
Right.
How does she penetrate this inner circle? Because Larry Summers is in President Obama's inner circle, and he is very comfortable with him, and that is really part of the problem beyond, you know, the allegiance to the Wall Street bankers who, you know, have been putting money in their pockets in terms of campaign donations and so on. So if I wonder, is there a way, how does she possibly break past, or how does any woman break past into that club where they have sensed either directly or unconsciously that they're not welcome?
You say sexism aside, and let's leave that aside for the moment. And I just want a lot of people to know that when Larry Summers left the Clinton White House as the Treasury Secretary, his financial disclosure forms say he was worth less than $500,000. And we don't begrudge anybody's wealth. I have concerns over how they got it, because these people know smarter than the rest of us. They just know how to play the game. So 8 years later, after having a net worth of $500,000, this net worth could be in excess of $39 million. Now, he didn't get that from being the president of Harvard for 5 years.
No, clearly not. Absolutely
he got that
not.
From his connection. And to your book, which is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which is about the assault on Hillary Clinton, the Clintons left the Clinton White House $5 million in debt, and then in a relatively short period of time, they have $110 million of net worth. You look at the Bushes. You look at the Kennedys. You look at this royalty that we have, and this regurgitation and this recycling of the privileged class, they always seem to do better when we don't seem to be doing even as close to as good as they are. And this is, again, we see them wanting to put people in the positions that are going to permit the game to continue.
To me, though, is look at what happened in 2008 with Barack Obama being pushed forward. He is the one who continued with this same group of Timmy TurboTax Geithner and Bob Rubin and Gene Sperling and so on, and he's the one who took more money from Wall Street bankers than any other candidate. He got a lot of donations from them, no matter how he decries them in public. So it's very interesting that this is the group that is pushing for him to be there and to stay there. And so, you know, he's perhaps returning the favor with Larry Summers. But, you know, we really have to ask ourselves, who would get there who is not going to be business as usual? And there was a very interesting article about Janet Yellen in the Washington Post yesterday, and it talked about why it's so much harder for her to get this job. And one of the things they talked about was the sense that she's not, what they said was, a team player, which
right.
the Obama White House likes. But that is a very, very interesting term as it is applied in this position, because the Fed chair is not supposed to be a team player. What this person is supposed to do is be an independent operator who indeed also has to testify before Congress as to what the monetary policy and situation is. And you don't want somebody who's on the same team or cabal or cadre. You want somebody who can think and work independently, and she stands apart from all of these other guys. And the other thing they're trying to sell, and this is coming, it has to be coming from the White House, it can't be coming from anywhere else. They're saying that, oh, Larry Summers, he was the lone operator, you know, back in 2000, trying to tamp down deregulation, when the opposite was true.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are back again, and this is the same to your point about people like Sheryl Sandberg, for instance, who is the Facebook COO, who claims to be a feminist and writes a book about women leaning in the workplace. And then she got in trouble because somebody on her chief staff at leanin.org, a nonprofit organization meant to push women forward in the workplace, they were asking for non-paid interns. And she just did a $91 million stock sale. Well, who can afford a non-paying internship? Rich people.
Rich people,
so it's
exactly.
Like rich people hanging out with rich people so they can meet rich people and keep other rich people rich.
And get richer. And you take. I want to go back to your golf analogy of picking a foursome. If you're a cheater, if you're a cheater in golf by nature, you're not going to have someone in your foursome that's going to call you on it. You're going to have someone that goes, "Oh, there's Bill, or there's Barack, or there's Jerry, or there's Anita. Yeah, you know, we kind of so yeah, the ball went into the woods of Nike, but look, it ended up in the fairway of Titleist. You know, so you know the kind of nonsense that would take place in a foursome where someone doesn't call you on your cheating is the same as what you see in a Janet Yellen who would call them on their cheating. Because you have to take a look. Larry Summers, he was part of repealing Glass-Steagall. That
right.
took the risk away from the risk takers. We had capitalism on the way up and socialism on the way down. Then you bring in a guy like Henry Paulson. The leverage ratios on Wall Street in 2004 were 14 to 1. Henry Paulson was a Goldman Sachs guy. The Goldman Sachs guy becomes a Treasury Secretary, petitions the SEC to unwind the 14 to 1 leverage ratios. The SEC says, yeah, that's okay. So then the banker gangsters can then have more leverage. What did they leverage up to? 40, 50, and 60 to 1. We went from 100 billion to 60 trillion in credit default swaps, and none of these geniuses thought that there was a problem. Someone like Janet Yellen comes along, who Asia and the emerging markets are in favor of because she doesn't have this deep allegiance to letting people cheat in golf. She cares more about Main Street than Wall Street. Well, she comes along and they go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You want to do what? And that kind of nonsense is what takes place. And someone like her who doesn't go along to get along is persona non grata.
Yeah, she's not going to put up with that. I don't think she would. She really is a deliberate thinker. And if I want to take get out my tinfoil hat and screw it on really tight, somebody else came out with the theory of the BlackBerry panic of 2008. I mean, you could look at what really happened with the market falling in and the banks being bailed out. Look what happened. Then they were able to buy up the paper really cheap, and all of those baby banks went under. And
yep.
Now you have this oligopoly happening where you have the bigger banks controlling much more of the wealth than
sure.
they did in 2008.
And they
well,
have
you need
more revenue.
To stand against that, exactly.
Right, and she would do that. But I think people are coming to understand, Anita, that kind of a reality check, that kind of a wake-up call, they don't want that. They don't want someone coming in. It's like the movie Dave. Remember when he brought in his nebbishy Jewish accountant at like whatever 2 o'clock in the morning? He rolled up in that Pacer or whatever the hell he was driving. And
I
then
love that movie.
They're sitting there looking at the books, and he looks at Kevin. What's his name?
Klein.
Kevin Klein. He looks at Kevin Klein, who was playing the president, and Dave, and he says, "If I ran my books like this, I'd be in jail." And that's exactly the point. They don't want the nebbishy accountant coming in and looking at the books and giving them a reality check. They want to continue this Ponzi scheme where the rich get richer, the haves have more of what the haves have, and the game is to keep the have-nots from having what the haves have. And it's such a game rigged to their advantage that they don't want anybody messing with it.
Well, that's exactly why Sheila Bair is not Treasury Secretary today, why she was passed over twice, even though she was brilliant at FDIC, because she was opposed to Too Big to Fail. There is your answer right there. And she just came out to endorse Janet Yellen. So clearly you see one side of the track and then you see the other. And, you know, I think it's up to the American people. I don't know if we can make a noise loud enough to make a difference, but I certainly pray that we try because, you know, it really, it does matter to every single one of us.
Right, but I think, as you point out and you write about, is that when people understand just how important the Fed chair is and what decisions come from it and how it affects people in their mortgages, their student loans, their credit cards, I mean, everything. I have a list, Anita, of the settlements from these banker gangsters, $400 million, $500 million, $300 million, $600 million. We're talking fines now in excess of probably $7 billion that Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, UBS, Barclays, all the list goes on. These are people who are manipulating LIBOR. LIBOR is an $800 trillion marketplace that affects everyone financially every day in every way. They wanted to rig the LIBOR rate because they wanted to make a little bit more money. Then you take a look at how J.P. Morgan and some others have just been fined because they were rigging the electricity rates in Western United States so they could make a little bit more money. A $425 million settlement is paid by J.P. Morgan. Two-thirds of the money goes to the consumers? No. Two-thirds of the money goes to the government. One-third of the settlement goes to the consumers who got hosed in the first place. That's a rigged system, Anita.
Well, that's why I'm out there reading Fed Chair for Dummies so that I can figure it out for myself, because I don't want to be left in the dark on this one.
No dummy. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, and all of her writings as an EpicTimes.com contributor. Thanks, Anita. We'll do it again.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Have a great day.
Me too. Thank you. Stick with us. We'll be right back.